I'm going to pick up my boys for a second. Chad, come out here a second, will you? Ryan, I'm going to pick on you too. I want to, this morning is for a couple minutes here, and then we'll go our separate ways, I know, but I want everyone to know today that God in heaven loves you, okay? That he created you for a purpose. That he formed, he made you. You're not a mistake, okay? I make mistakes, but I'm not a mistake. I've got three sons. My youngest son made it in last night, so he's not here this morning. But these two guys here, I, on purpose, made them. Oh, their mom helped a little bit, you know what I'm saying? But I wanted a family. I wanted children. And God gave me a helpmate and helped me produce number one son, number two, and number three. He's not here right now. But wanted them, okay? Love them. I want to take care of them. I have a desire for them. Not a mistake. I will not scroll out someday and found Ryan behind a tree or stumble across Chad. No, I wanted a family. I wanted. I don't want to be alone. Okay? I don't know. There's something inside of me. I when I leave this world, I want to leave something behind other than bills. Okay? And because of you guys, I'll leave plenty of bills. You know that? But what I'm saying is, I love these guys very, very much, and had a purpose for them, you know? And today is the same way with you sitting here. There's a God in heaven that loves you, that cares for you. Okay, you're not an accident, you're not a fluke, I don't care how you made it into the world. He created you because he did not want to be lonely. He created you because he wanted a relationship with you. He created you because he wanted to have someone to be in fellowship with. If you just think that for a moment, he wants the best for you. These two guys here, I always wanted the best for him. Always wanted him. And I gave you some rules in growing up, things to do and not to do. Right? Because I loved you guys. I still love you. My dad's number one rule he'd give me all the time is he'd be filling up the lawnmower. And he said, "Now, boy, don't ever smoke close to the gas can." You know, and he drove that in my head. Now, I used to smoke for years and years and years, but I never filled up my lawnmower with a cigarette in my mouth, you know. Now, I pumped gas in my car with a cigarette in my mouth, but but what stuck in my head was Dad saying, "Okay, don't do it." He didn't want to see anything happen to me. Out of love, he told me that, you know. He gave me a lot of instructions because he cares for me. Some of these guys here, I gave him a lot of instructions, and you look at them, do they look like me? Do they? Hey, Daryl, come here a second, will you? Now, does Daryl look like me? You know, Daryl doesn't. These two guys does, okay? Why? Because they're a part of me. But, you know, all of us right here, we look like our Heavenly Father because God created us in His image, okay? So we do have His attributes. We have His DNA in us, okay? And God wants the best for Daryl, for Ryan, for Chad, and for Starkey, our Heavenly Father says. And I want you to understand that today, that He wants the best for you. Thanks, Daryl. If you have that mindset, knowing that God isn't a God waiting to punish us, He's a God to love us, a God to bless us. You know, I love all the time when I can bless my boys, okay? I really do. And growing up, you know, they had rules. You know, they had allowance that they would get. And they had certain things they had to do to get the allowance. Now, when they disobeyed, you didn't get your allowance. But it never stopped the love I had for them. Okay? Whatever it might have been, I don't remember right now what you guys did wrong. Like me, you already did anything wrong, you know? That was Vince. I ain't picking on Vince today. Okay. Okay, now, if Vince was told he had to, you know, clean your room up, do the chores around the house to get your allowance, well, he didn't do it. We still loved him, but he did not get the allowance that was due to him that he could have had. And God, the same way today, he loves us. He loves you wherever you're at today. He loves you. He cares for you. But what he wants to do, he wants to pour his blessings into your life. But his love, like my love for my children, are unconditional. I love them no matter what happens. But the blessings are conditional. It comes to being obedient. Okay, you think, well, is that fair that God makes us obey him? Well, I mean, God's God. It's His blessings. And when He wants you to obey, when He gives us His word, and He gives us things to do and not to do, He gives it to you out of love. You know, when I tell my boys, they listen, don't break the speed limit. You know, keep it under 55. Okay? Not trying to be mean. Have you ever drove a car 100 mile an hour? I have. Come on, Kenny. We've been in that truck with you one time. Yeah. Anybody ever almost get killed in an automobile driving too fast or driving drunk? Used to do it years ago. The last thing I want to do is have my boys follow my footsteps, right? So I give them rules and regulations. Don't do this, don't do that. Not because I'm mean, because I care for them. Because I know what the end result could be. Graduation day, 1975, coming back from a quick beer at Shady Bend. 18 years old, yes. Racing my buddy Gene Jones. I took the curve at Shady Bend, and my car went over. My wife, by that time my girlfriend, came on top of me. My elbow almost hit the ground, coming out of the car. And boom, somehow went right back down again, blew a tire. And I tell you what, thank God for Gene Jones. We changed that tire in 2 minutes, get out before the cops come. You know what I'm saying? But as a father, I know what reckless obstacles, I know what drinking and driving can do. I know what speed can do for a person. And so I try to say, listen, don't do this, don't do this. Now, have my boys ever speed? Yeah, they probably have. Have they ever broken the law? They probably have, okay? Drove out of a seatbelt? Probably have, okay? Well, did I get rid of them? Did I cut them off? No. Uh-uh. But they do? Hey, I'm sorry, I should have done that. Curfew violation. Curfew is another good one. My mom and dad gave me a curfew. Daddy said, be home at midnight. Now I'm telling you, Sarah 93 at Fresno, I come up through there for my Camaro, 110 mile an hour. Trying to get home by midnight. Man, have you ever done that? Yes. Well, I learned one thing, that when my children started driving, I changed it. I said, be home around midnight. Because I know how many times I come not making it home going down the highway. So, be home around midnight. He normally came home about 11 o'clock. Came home early. That was in the morning. But again, what I shared with them was out of love. I didn't want to see anything happen to them. Okay? And when they would make a mistake, they come to me. We forgive each other, and we go on. And that's where our Heavenly Father is today. Thanks, guys. Hope I didn't embarrass you too much. They're used to it now, yeah. To be 30 years as the sons to a cop is one thing, then 9 years now as the sons of a preacher. You guys have been through quite a lot, haven't you? They know your life as well as mine. But the thing to remember on this Father's Day, that God is a God of love, a God of caring, a God of mercy, and He cares for us very, very much. If we just get that in our mind, knowing that. I mean, I had an awesome father. When I look at my dad, I tell you, I wouldn't trade him for anything. I mean, everything he done for me, taught me. My dad tomorrow, be 24 years tomorrow that he's been gone. Maybe today you're sitting here, maybe your dad, maybe you can't say the same thing. You know, maybe the feelings you have of your father is a little bit different. I don't know. I just know that, you know, everyone does the best that they can in the circumstances. Every dad here, if we could go back and change something, we would, wouldn't we? I think we would. We really would. But the thing of it is that God, when we sinned against God, He sent Jesus Christ to come and reconcile us. Amen? He brought forgiveness for our sins through Jesus. And if God can forgive us for what we've done, I pray that we can reach inside ourselves and forgive what others have done against us. Amen? Amen. Your Father in Heaven cares for you. And I just want to share with you one verse today. Not one verse. One chapter. You guys getting ready to walk out? No. I want to share with you. It's commonly known as the prodigal son. A lot of you guys know the scriptures. But as I share with you today, this is the same way our Father in Heaven looks towards us. You know, remember that when we were created, placed in the Garden of Eden, we was placed there to be with God for eternity. And He was going to give us everything we needed. It was all there. And what happened? Man sinned. Man was removed from that garden. It wasn't that God got mad at us and kicked us out. He gave us the perimeter. He gave us the regulations, and we violated them, and we were removed from the Garden of Eden. And like when Adam and Eve was removed, what God wanted to do was reestablish fellowship with them. In the same way with us today, And maybe you find yourself the day you're removed from God. Maybe you know God. Maybe you've heard of God. You've heard of Jesus. Maybe you've been coming to church. But you still you have that separation. You just don't quite understand yet what God is and your relationship with Him. I pray this morning this parable will give some enlightenment to you. But I'm in Luke chapter 15, verse 11, where I'll be reading from this morning. And Jesus is sharing this with us. But in Luke 15, verse 11, he said, a certain man had two sons. Oh, wow. Chad and Ryan, huh? And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me, or what that belongs to me. And he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country. And there he squandered his estate with loose living. So he went to his father and said, man, listen, I'm leaving the family farm. I'm tired of it. I'm not hanging around anymore. Give me my half of my inheritance. Now I'm booging away. Well, I would assume the father probably talked to him a few days, trying to convince him that it's not really well to do. But the son insisted that he was going to leave, so the father gave him half of his inheritance, and he took off. He left. Now he went and he blew all his money, it says. Now when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be in need. And he went and attached himself to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed his swine. Man, at one time he was rich. He had everything he needed. He was dining probably every night over at Thomas's Steakhouse, you know what I'm saying? Drinking coffee at Starbucks, driving a Mercedes. He probably had all the ladies chasing around him. Now, he was a man of means. I mean, you look at him, and he has all that, what do they call it now? Bling. All the jewelry. I mean, he was top-notch. He had it all. Then all of a sudden, it turns around. A famine struck. Everything that he had, he blew all his money. It was all gone. And now he found himself being hungry. He's in great need. So he goes to a local farmer and says, man, I need a job. He says, well, I got a job for you. You can go out there and feed the pigs. Now, what a trouble that is, isn't it? Going from the king's table, going from eating ham every night and pork chops and all that, and having the finest clothing, to leave that behind at his father's house, go on his own, find out, man, I can't make it by myself. Now here he is, feeding pigs. I wonder if he sat there one night and thought, man, how'd I ever get here? I wonder if in his mind he was remembering all the things that Dad did for him. All the things that Dad told him, all the wisdom he shared with him. But he had to be on his own. He had to defy his father. And I think a lot of us have done that in our times. Just, Dad doesn't know anything, right? You know? As a kid, we know everything, don't we? You know, they say at 18 years old, you talk to your dad, and he's the dumbest person alive. And when you talk to him again at 25, man, you can't believe how smart he is. He's like, wow, how much did your dad learn in 7 years, you know. But really, as we grow up, we see the wisdom that our father shares with us. But he's laying there feeding the pigs. And he says, and he was longing to fill his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating. And no one was giving anything to him. So the pigs were eating better than what he was eating. But when he came to his senses, wow, he came to his senses. Isn't that awesome? He said, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, but I'm dying here with hunger? I will get up and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. So he got up and came to his father. Wow, there he is. He's laying right now, his back is against the wall. You ever been there before? You ever been there where you don't know where to go next, and you're laying there, and all the things that ever was good to you pass through your mind. Maybe all the intelligence, the wisdom that someone shared to you. You ever have someone tell you, don't do that, and you did that, and you shouldn't have done that? Have you done that there? I mean, have you ever find yourself holding the apron strings and it's not attached to anything? Have you ever had a bib around your neck and you're not eating? And it comes back into your mind, man, they told me not to do this. Told me, don't go over there. And you did it anyway. And you're sitting back here and you think, oh, man, how did I get here? You know, I've been there so many times in my life. You know, the wisdom my dad would give me. You know, Dad said, don't do this. But, you know, Dad never forced me not to do anything. He just gave me the wisdom. Then after I'd try it myself and go back to him, he would never chastise me. He'd just tell me how to do it the right way. Sometimes he'd look at me and say, well, son, I'm waiting for you to come home. You know, I tried to do that electrical work on my car one time. It wouldn't start. My dad was an electrician. Duh. Electrician. Mechanic. I mean, done everything. 18 years old, my car had a Dodge Coronet 500. Anybody familiar with this? Shift on the floor, the wide tires. It wouldn't start. If a car don't start, it don't do you much good, does it? Well, I worked on it, and I worked on it. And I couldn't get it. And my buddies, Timmy Tejai, came up and worked on it. I think Tom Babcock worked on it. We had a lot of people work on it. We couldn't get it. So finally, I went to my dad. And I said, Dad, could you fix my car for me? Yeah, I was waiting for you. Got my tool, his toolkit out, went down my car in 15 minutes. He had the wires wired up, and my car's running again, you know. But I had to do it on my own, you know. That was called pride, you know. Maybe I was trying to show my dad I could do it by myself, or maybe I was rebelling against him. But when I turned back to my father, what I needed was met. And today is the same way with us. You know, maybe we've been walking away from God, not walking with God. Maybe we've been hearing God, but not listening to God. Today, the same thing in our life that we can turn around. We can turn around back towards Him and listen to what God says to us. And we, maybe today your back is against the wall, but God's got a way of taking your back off the wall. He wants to do that. He wants to do that for His children. But again, he said, the guy in the pig field says, I will get up and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. And he got up and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. Now, how long has this young man been away from the farm? It doesn't say, does it? Been a while, though. He blew everything he had. And he's coming back towards his father. You think his dad had been pretty busy, wouldn't he? Running a farm. But what does the scripture say? That the father was waiting for the son to come back. He saw the son come far, far away. That means the father was still watching out every day for his child to return, to come home to him. That also, even though the kid took everything he had, he took half of the inheritance, went out and blew it all. Made mixed statements. He probably heard the rumors of what's going on downtown, you know, down the gay 90s, you know, or El Toro, what his boy's doing. You know, his heart was probably breaking, but his son was old enough to make his own decision. He probably kept praying, God, you know, just let my son come back to his senses. Bring him back to me. And he never gave up. He kept looking. He kept looking, kept watching. You know, how far down the lane, I don't know, but it was far enough. Boy, he saw movement. The father was waiting for the child to come back home. And today, the same way with us today, our Father in heaven is waiting for us to turn back to Him. There's nothing you could have ever done that the Father in heaven is not waiting for you. But it's up to us to turn. It never said that the dad went down where the son was at and drug him back out. No. As the son turned back to the father. Now, I would imagine maybe the father, being rich as he is, he might have had hired hands to go in town to get some pig feeding, you know, or get whatever he needed to farm with and have him check on the boy. He probably got reports maybe, you know, he's hanging in there. And then pretty soon, boy, your son's out of money. Boy, he's feeding pigs right now. And so the father's probably getting excited. All right. He's running out of money. He's running out of this. He's running out of that. He'll need me again. He'll realize all I have for him is love, and I care for him. So as the boy was going sinking deeper and deeper into nothing, I imagine the father was getting excited, saying, boy, it's going to happen. He will come to his senses. As he kept praying to God, man, just turn that boy around. So when you're in your bottom and you think, man, what good is this? God can take the bad that you're in today and turn it around for good. Sometimes it takes us to be with nothing to realize that we are something for God. You know, if we can just get by easy street, just get along long enough, we don't need God quite as much. We think we do it all our own. But when we have nothing, we realize that we can't do nothing without God. And remember this, your Heavenly Father is waiting for you to return back to Him. He wants you to. If you're here today and you're not with the Father, if you don't have that relationship, man, He's waiting. There's nothing you could have ever done in your life would ever cause Him not to receive you back at His table. Not a thing. Not one sin, not one thing. He's watching today for each one of us to turn back to Him. In John chapter 1, I think verse 10, it tells us how we become a child of God. You know, we are God's children. We are His creation, okay? But to be a child of God, to let Him be our Father, the only way that happens is through Jesus Christ. Amen? John 1 chapter 10, is that, or verse 10, I believe. I believe it is. Yes, it says, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But, verse 12, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. Children of God. To have God to be our Heavenly Father is to come to him through Jesus Christ. And all the promises, all the blessings that God handed down to Abraham becomes ours. That's for every one of us. Now, you might be visiting today. Maybe you're used to reading a different version. This is a New American Standard Bible I'm reading from. There's King James out there, the NIV. But all of them say the same thing. Is to become a child of God is to come to him through Jesus Christ. Christ says that we must be born again, right? Born of the Spirit. To be born again, new birth. Become a child of God. And every promise he has is available to us. And so the Father saw him and he felt compassion for him and he ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the Son said to his Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the Father said to his slaves, quickly bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fattened calf, kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and he has been found, and began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. And he summoned one of his servants and began inquiring what these things might be. And he said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has received him back safe and sound. But the brother became angry and was not willing to go in. And his father came out and began entreating him. But he answered and said to the father, look, for many years I have been serving you, and I have never neglected a command of yours. So he said, man, I've been with you a long time. I stuck with you, Dad. My brother took the stuff. We went out and partied like crazy. I stayed on the farm. I sweat. I plowed. I sowed. I did everything for you. Everything, he's saying. Follow every command of yours. And you have never given me a kid that I might be merry with my friends. A kid meaning a goat. He never gave him something to cook, to have a party with. But this son of yours came. He didn't say his brother. He said, your son has devoured your wealth, your harlot with harlots. You killed the fattened calf for him. And he said to him, my child, you have always been with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to be merry and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and had become to life, and was lost and now has been found. The brother was upset because the other brother came home and Dad was treating him so, rejoicing over him. He was mad because he took Dad's money, went down and spent it on prostitutes and all that kind of stuff. Dad, how can you be happy that your son came home after blowing all that? He said, man, he was dead once, but now he's alive again. So we look at the church today, and half of us sit here maybe, and we've been in church for 30 or 40 years. Now, I've only been born again 13, so I can't confess to being in church that long. But we've been walking with the Lord or known of God. And you have everything you've done for the Lord, it builds up rewards in heaven. Amen? There's rewards out there for you, whether you want them or not. There's rewards in heaven for everything you do for the Lord on earth. And today you might think, wow. Maybe you're looking at me today and, man, I'm in church with a cop. Retired cop. You know, all them cops are dirty. All of them on the take. But, you know, they're not. Well, I'm being recorded, aren't I? Okay. But no, but what I'm saying is this. You say, man, I've been serving the Lord for 30 or 40 years, and now there's Starkey. And he's been with the Lord 13 years, and he's going to go to heaven? He's going right beside me in the kingdom? Carol, what do you think of that? I mean, right beside, that's not right, is it? Well, I'm telling you, it is right, because the kingdom belongs to God. Amen? And Christ came and died for all our sins. And rejoicing is received in heaven when we turn our faces towards the Lord. When we receive forgiveness of our sins. And that's what the boy should have done. The son rejoiced, oh, finally my brother's back home again. Great, because you think for a moment, wow, there's somebody else to help with the chores, maybe, you know. Maybe he can do the plowing this time or disking or whatever they're doing, okay? He got excited. We have another worker here. But right away, he got discarded. He got upset. And the church should see the same way. As I repented of my sins and turned toward the Lord, rejoicing should take place because there's somebody else to carry the load of the church. And for every one of us, when we receive the light, and we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, we should rejoice that, man, there's another sinner to come home. There's someone else to help carry the gospel. Someone else to help carry the load. To rejoice. Because God is sending His Son very soon to come back to get the church. The hour is getting close where people will not be able to be born again. The Holy Spirit will be out of here. The raptured church is coming. And we should just get excited every time someone else comes, someone else receives Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. And today I'll close the message with this. There's a God in heaven who loves you. He's your Heavenly Father. Amen? But just like being a father of my kids, there's things that you can do that can separate you from the Father. But He doesn't want that. The Bible says that every one of us, Maggie, you too. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Me too, you know? Amen. Fallen short, I fell and rolled, you know what I'm saying? Everything. But listen, He says the wages of sin is what, guys? It's death. What's that? Separation from God. If you have sin in your life today, you're separated from God. And He doesn't like that. It'd be like my boy separated from me. Let's say they did something I told them not to do, and they just walked away from me, never talked to me. Well, that's what it is with God right now. If you sin, that communication between you and God is broken. And He doesn't want that. He wants that to reestablish. But the wages of sin is death, separation from God for eternity. And if we die in sin, we go to hell. And God doesn't want that. God had never created hell for humans. Hell was created for the fallen angels. Amen? And the angels don't want to go by themselves. Satan does not want to be cast into hell by himself, so he comes around and he tempts you. He tries to get you to sin. He tries to tell you that God's a liar. He tries to tell you that preachers are full of hot air. That you're okay just the way you are. But you're not. We're not. No. We need forgiveness of our sins. And God wants to do that. To God so loved the world that gave the only begotten Son, that he who believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That applies to you today. Heavenly Father, man. He wants to forgive you your sins, whatever it is. He wants to be reconciled with you. You have eternal life. The Bible says all those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We're talking about a relationship. Amen? We're not talking about joining a club. A relationship with God. Man, to know that when you pray, God will hear you. Know that your needs, that he wants to meet all our needs. As we give everything to Him, give your life to Him, He'll meet all our needs to the riches and glory in Christ Jesus. It's a relationship. He wants to do that for you today. What an awesome Father's Day that would be for you to receive the forgiveness of sins today. How awesome is the day to receive encouragement. I mean, the Father in heaven, He wants to bless His children. Okay, He does. It says in 2 Chronicles, God goes to and fro at His children trying to see who He can bless. Who has a heart like His. Awesome Father's Day. Today, if you're here today, and maybe this is new. Or maybe you heard it before. Maybe you don't. I don't know. I just ask you today, if you're here today, and you got this feeling inside of you, just you think, man, there's something wrong. I mean, there's got to be more to life than what I have. There has to be more than life. You know, what you're missing is God. God is life. He'll give you a plan and a purpose. Every one of us. We have a plan and purpose that God created us for. What an awesome Father that is. Plan, yeah. I had a plan for my boys. We were getting baby stuff together before they even come into the world. We want to take care of them. And same way our Father in heaven, He wants to take care of us. But we're the ones that separate ourselves from God. But He sent Jesus Christ to come to reconcile us together. So today, if you're separated from God, you never received Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, if you want to experience God's love like you never have before, if you want to turn away from the lifestyle that you're in, I just ask you today to ask the Lord to come into your life. To stand up where you're at. Say, I'm ready, God. You know, not asking you to quit anything. Just asking you to let God come into your life. Let Him forgive you your sins. Time is short. He's coming back so quick. So quick. He told us the signs of things of His return. And folks, I'm not sure I'll be here next week in the pulpit. Time is short. This isn't Starkey's rule. It's all handed down by the Word of God. I pray that any church you walk in today should be the same word is being preached. So if you go to the church around the corner, they won't say, well, you know, give us $100 a week and we'll get you into heaven. They won't. No. Everybody knows it's $300, right? I know. I got to say that. No. What would they say? It's a free gift. A free gift. Forgiveness of our sins. That God wants to do that. But we have to act and we have to go to Him for it. And what a life changing it would be. And no one here, not to scare anybody here, but no one's guaranteed to be sitting where you're at next Sunday. We understand that. You're one heartbeat away from stepping into eternity. My father-in-law yesterday at 1:30 stepped into eternity. You know? 40 years ago, he was preparing for that step. He got born again 40 years ago. Fell in love with the Lord. And because of his decision, he's in heaven today. And God wants the same thing for us. Every one of you here. Not that one of you would perish. He wants all his children to come home. But the decision is up to you. If you have questions about eternity, about salvation, I really encourage you to get a hold of me. I'll sit down and talk. Don't be afraid. You know, there's no different like planning for any other trip. If you go on vacation, you go probably trip away and get all the brochures and what time of departure and all this kind of stuff. You would plan your vacation before you took it. Well, this is the same way. Eternity is a vacation. Forever. And you need to have good plans before you step into it. God loves you. He really does. Amen? Amen. You know, as fathers, you know, we always want to fix the problems of our children, our household. And in your hand is a tool that will help you do that. With a little bit of education or wisdom, you can be able to fix stuff around the house. But dads, also remember this, no matter what problems comes in your household, it needs fixed. There's nothing that you and the Lord together can't fix in your house. Okay? I don't care how badly it seems to be broken. I don't care today, Dad, if your relationship with your children is broken so bad you think nothing can bring it back together again. God can bring it back together. Just as that young man, that prodigal son who was away from his father, blew everything, God was able to bring him back to his earthly father. And our heavenly Father would do the same. Guys, I know we joke a lot, but being a father is very important. You have little eyes looking up at you. I don't care if your little eyes are 30 or 40 years old. They're still watching you. Take time to sit down and embrace one another. Enjoy your dad where you still have him. And maybe your earthly fathers went on. When you remember the memories of today. But remember your heavenly Father. He's with you forever and ever and ever. He's a perfect Father. And the greatest gift you can give him is yourself. And today as you sat here and praised him during the praise and worship, I know it's kind of long today, but you know, Carol wasn't here. But you saw everything he created. He created all that stuff to entertain his children with. So I pray that you have a blessed day today, and may God be with you. May all your memories be good. Amen.